Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you found time in your schedule to join me for these next few minutes as I continue on a message I started this week, God's Glorious Church, and we're still not done. We'll just see how long the Lord wants us to go. But we've been talking about God's heart for the body of Christ. He is raising up a tabernacle, a temple. He's raising up the Church of Jesus Christ. When we hear the word church, for the novice, they think of it as a building, a place with four walls where Christians gather together for worship. And we commonly refer to that as a church. But the actual Greek word ecclesia refers to called out ones from the world who have had a living experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, a born-again experience where they've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's called the new birth. It's called being born again. And it's the greatest miracle in the universe when God can enter in through the Holy Spirit and bring a dead soul. I mean, physically, people walking on the face of the earth, they're alive physically, but spiritually they're dead. Sin separates us from God, and we inherited sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve. But thank God, even in the garden, a promise was given. The seed of the woman shall crush the seed of the serpent. And that prophetic word was speaking of the Messiah, the Redeemer to come, and his name was Jesus. In the fullness of time, he was born of a virgin, and because of God's great love, wherewith he loved the whole world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is this great salvation, beloved. That we could have the boldness and the courage and the opportunity. And if we pray, the Holy Spirit will definitely make opportunities for us to share in simple ways. We don't have to see, quote, results. In other words, we don't have to see someone actually give their heart to the Lord, because some plant seeds, some water, and some actually reap a harvest. It's what God has you do in obedience. That's the important thing. So often we want to see results, or, you know, like, you know, notches in our belt. Well, I've seen so many people saved. Well, that's a matter of pride and spiritual haughtiness. We have to be only interested in doing what the Father shows us to do and leave the results to Him. But what we've been looking about is God's plan to reach out to those whom He has known. There are good seed in the earth that even haven't heard the gospel. So many today, you know, I was recently with a friend in a restaurant. We were talking to a very bright young college girl, and she was going on in her studies, and she didn't even know the basics of American history, what the revolution was fought. I mean, it was astounding for those of us who, you know, went to school in the 40s and 50s and 60s, that they don't know the very basics of our history. And of course, that's the way to change history, is to erase it so that it can be, you know, the line of whoever wants believing in gullible people to believe whatever their line is. So anyway, I won't go in that direction, because we're looking at God's glorious church. And when we begin to look at organization instead of the organism, we're very close to walking out our own ways. Beloved, God's Spirit burst that spiritual organism, the church, on the day of Pentecost. There were only 120, but God added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is a living organism. It's not contained behind four walls, not confined to a denomination. I don't care what title you put over the head of it, but it is a living body of believers that has been birthed and created by the Spirit of God. However, even with the best of intentions and sincerity, man, in attempt to increase or preserve what God has done, tries to organize, places their ways, their thoughts, their methods on how the church should grow, how it should be administered. And as a result, we push the Spirit of God out because why? We're relying on our own giftings, our own abilities, which may be good in themselves, but not when it comes to allowing anything that would hinder God's sovereign will. And as I've said, and I want you to hear me, beloved, the point of leadership, any kind of leadership, fivefold, apostle, prophet, pastors, evangelist, teacher, and that is to equip you, to educate, to inform you, to instruct you, to lead you in the way of godliness by preaching of the word and by godly example, to make you self-sufficient in the things of God, that you'll begin to move out in your own ministry, whatever it is. That doesn't mean you have a public ministry necessarily. It means that you're doing what God has destined for you to do, your calling, your purpose, your destiny. But anyone who tries to make you do, I remember years ago, it was a prophetic ministry, and it was like, oh, there, and I was, you know, I was really trying to glean everything. Well, there's a 2-week window of time. I mean, it's one of my little peeves. They have buzzwords, you know, everything's a window of opportunity, everything's a shift. Beloved, we have to allow God's Spirit to move in purity and in unity, and we cannot have people look to us. I remember I was listening to this CD, and this was years and years ago, and I thought, my heavens, if I miss this next installment, I won't know what the Spirit of God is doing. Beloved, God has definitely given prophets. He does not do anything but that he reveals what is to come through his prophets. If anyone believes in the sanctity and the importance of fivefold ministry and the prophetic word, the moving of the Spirit and the gifts of God is this ministry. However, the purpose, the aim of it is to equip and strengthen and see the saints of God matured, not to bring dependence upon you, your calling, or your ministry, but to bring the saints into dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ, to have every eye, every attention placed upon Jesus, for he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Does that do away with the need for godly counsel and instruction and example? No, of course it does not. It does not do away with church government, but I'm talking about an attitude of the heart. And there are many, many godly people, unknowns perhaps, that God is raising up in this hour, and he's kept them reserved for such a time as this. So we cannot look at organization. We need to look at the living organism of the Lord Jesus Christ and learn to love and respect and care for it as the great shepherd does. We're simply under shepherds. The inference, beloved, and this is a very delicate thing, if you have ears to hear, listen, the inference that the church is supreme is no different from that which has been handed down from Rome over the centuries, nor for those who established various denominations. Every denomination began with a sincere desire to bring the people out of bondage. Each lost sight of that bondage and desired to go back to the garlics and onions of an easier time. Each began with the freshness of new wine from heaven. Each leader, every founder, each assembly followed the scriptural pattern of governments to the church very earnestly and very much in the highest motives of divine love. But somehow, some way, either when the pioneers or founders died, or when others who came with more so-called progressive ideas, then the church became oppressive and repressive. Whenever a group of ministers convene together and decide that the quote-unquote church is all important and that they are the spokespersons, they are the embodiment of a new renaissance for the church, and that they have the real scriptural pattern for the church to follow, they at best, are glorifying man's government and procedure rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the whole concept of the ecumenical movement. We need to rethink that. The Holy Spirit was not given by God to testify about himself. He was sent at the prayer of the Son of God to be our guide, our empowerer, our comforter. The Holy Spirit reveals the real Lord Jesus Christ to the church, be they local assemblies or the universal community of saints, the universal body of Christ. And the purpose is to lift up Jesus Christ to the whole world. The Pelagian philosophy that arose in 411 AD was false then and it's false now. Pelagius and another by the name of Celestius taught that a man could save himself by his own works. Beloved, that we cannot save ourselves by our own works. There's no salvation in any other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. This attempt, and I believe with all my heart, those men were sincere to set the church in order. It has been ongoing, the ongoing, if you will, the ongoing desire of man for almost, what, 17 centuries. It has never been successful, and it never will be successful. The Church of Jesus Christ was not born into this world by man, and it cannot be regulated or organized by man. An organization is lifeless. It can be directed to do anything. Any group of people can form an organization and set down rules and bylaws. They can establish arbitrary membership requirements and see to it that no one but those who consent and abide by those rules are ever allowed into the organization. But the body of Christ, beloved, the church, whether local or universal, is a living spiritual organism. Praise God. Well, I have more to share, and I invite you, we'll have to continue this next week, and I invite you to join me on the station at this same time. We're heard Monday through Friday. If you miss a broadcast at any point in time or want to rehear it, I invite you to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you may click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. Also, beloved, you may have those who are afar off. They used to go to church. They've been hurt. They've been wounded, and they're off doing their own thing. God wants to call the orphans back. He wants his people to be brought together in restoration and love and unity, harmony, and in his divine love and in the spirit of forgiveness. I invite you to write, share their names. I pray for you every day, my radio family, my UCM partners. I love you dearly. I love hearing from you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.